This is not a test. Don't expect to be impressed. Put on your life vest. Sit down your armrest. It's time to stray from the grind. Don't take my hand, cause you'll find no peace of mind.
Hi there, and welcome to SideQuest, the episode we do in between our adventures, where instead of fighting wizards and dragons, we fight television and opinions, I guess. That's just as heroic when you think about it. Who do we have with us today? We have myself, Steve Weverill. We have Rick Welteri. We have Robert Bevan. We have Joseph Brassi. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, friends.
Before we kick off to, I mean, on SideQuest, sometimes we will play a different game. Sometimes we'll have fascinating guests. Sometimes we'll just sit here and bitch. It's going to be a bitching episode. So get your bitching boots on. Get ready for a bitch. But before we get into the bitching, something that we're not bitching about. Shingles the movie is finished. If you backed the project, you should have received your digital copy by now. You'll
finally.
Soon be... finally.
After five fucking tries.
After a series.
You said nothing to bitch about?
Well, I wasn't doing it, Rick. It's entirely you. So nothing for me to bitch about as far as I'm concerned. I'm in a different time zone. I just went to sleep while Rick struggled. But you should have your digital copies by now. You should have watched the movie by now. That's exciting. You'll probably be getting your physical copies soon and all your wonderful perks such as signed postcards and posters and whatever you signed up for. And there'll be a digital screening event with the cast and writers, that being us, coming soon. So if you signed up to that event, you'll be getting an email with a date very soon, something to look forward to. I guess we're all CD movie producers now.
Yeah, I mean, all the DVDs and Blu-rays have gone out the door. Some of them are coming to people direct, if that's what you got as a perk. If you got other stuff as a perk, like postcards or that creepy ass sloppy puppet or so, your stuff is going to go to one of us so we can fulfill it and then get it out into the mail for you, or pour holy water on it. I don't know.
Yeah. That puppet is genuinely haunted, so enjoy that.
Yeah, I fully expect whoever got that puppet to disappear. Hopefully they're not a member of the Patreon, because we don't want to lose your support.
No, but I did factor into the contract that should they die in mysterious supernatural circumstances, we get the puppet back, should we ever want to do a sequel, so it works out either way.
Why would we want the puppet back? For a sequel.
More chaos, Rick.
We're not listening.
I don't care how many souls have to be lost.
Dude, that puppet's probably coming back anyway. It's probably going to somewhere in the Midwest, like Minnesota. And 3 days from now, Steve, you're going to wake up and it's going to be sitting at the edge of your bed. You know.
I prefer to think that I'll just click on the news one day and it'll be mysterious puppet cult materializes in the Midwest. And then I can just ignore it and let the apocalypse happen as it should.
Yeah, I'll be perfectly honest. I mean, you created the worst puppet. I like Bob's like gnome. I mean, you could be Walter White without doing any of the work there.
Yeah, well,
just feed him your neighbors.
You can have a partnership with a gnome that shits cocaine, but a magical talking puppet that is effectively just a sleazy Hollywood producer. There's no way you're going to get an equal partnership out of that. It's not going to happen. If you got no fucking idea what we're talking about, that's reasonable. But yeah, Shingles the movie, it's available to pre-order now. If you want a physical copy, you can go to orphansanddragons.com and find that. And we'll be looking at options to stream it in the future, but we don't know what that's going to look like yet. But rest assured, we'll let you know as soon as we do.
Yeah, we want to make sure that there's options out there for you to stream it, rent it, or buy it, which is even better.
Buying's good.
And I mean, if you really want to pay a lot of money, I'm sure for like several tens of thousands of dollars, we'll just come to your fucking house and pantomime the damn thing live.
Yeah, do a one-man show. If you just want to give us money, that's fine. Whenever you want to do that, we won't ask any questions. We don't care where it came from.
You can pay me not to come to your house.
That's very troubling. Very troubling.
I thought it was quite fair, Joe. He did say that they could pay him. You know, it could be a reasonable amount.
But this implies that Bevan knows where everyone's house is.
I mean,
well, we have it's addresses.
Not hard to find houses.
Yeah. You know, these people, to get their perks.
It wasn't just about giving them prizes. It was also about Bob's secret master plan.
Yeah, all Bob's got to do is start on his block and work his way out from there.
It was just a plan to give Bob more things to feed on.
Yes. We're working up to something, some terrible, terrible Bevan-related supernatural epoch. But in the meantime, enjoy Shingles the movie. It's hilarious. It's a lot of fun. Zombies being murdered by dildos, hilarious redneck girls in drug partnerships with garden gnomes. It's got something for everyone, I think.
And I'll say this with all honesty. You know, I watch a lot of comedy movies on Netflix and Prime, and a lot of them are not funny. And technically, we shouldn't be laughing at our own jokes because we know the fucking things. And this movie's funny.
I'm still laughing at it. It's great because Jennifer Lawrence has just kind of relaunched herself as a comedian, and she looks like she's done a really good job. There's a really, I think it's called like No Hard Feelings comedy, like straight comedy coming out. Looks like it's going to be hilarious. It's not going to be Shingles, so fuck you, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, you know something, Jennifer Lawrence, when you play, like, you know, when you decide to play Buick, come talk to us. But no, we already have the perfect Buick because Jenny Hopps, holy shit, did she own that role.
She did, yeah. Jennifer Lawrence, until I see you fist a puppet, then I'm afraid, you know, get on her level, right? All right, now that we've slagged off a successful Hollywood actress for no reason, let's go into whatever the fuck it is we're talking. Why is
she the standard for comedy anyway?
Because she just relaunched herself in a comedy career. Looks like it's going to be funny.
Maybe we shouldn't pick on somebody rich enough to like have each and every one of us killed.
I don't know, man. At this point, it's all great press. Internet idiots murdered by Hollywood starlets.
Man, after I'm dead, I'm going to make so much money.
Yeah, you can see my family showing up on camera. It's like the best thing that ever happened to us was Daddy pissed off Jennifer Lawrence.
Ah, well, I shall follow her career with interest. Yeah, in the meantime, again, it's a side quest. We're just bullshitting. And sometimes we just like to catch up with TV, see how TV's getting on. And it's a pretty significant drop era of new shit. Picard Season 3, Mandalorian Season 3, two of the biggest sci-fi franchises swinging their cocks about. One of them is an energy sword cock. The other, some kind of... It's basically a penis, but it's Worf as well. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this analogy.
Each it's like, kapla! Eat you some Worf dick.
Oh, my God. If there is one thing I could change about myself, it would be that I'd turn my penis into Worf. But that's a whole other side quest. So, Rick, you're the only one who started watching Mandalorian Season 3 and Picard Season 3.
Yeah.
I've been saving all up for a proper cocaine binge session.
I wanted to, but I've been really fucking bored. And, you know, I'll say this. Let's start with Picard. I didn't like Season 1. I absolutely fucking hated Season 2. But
I didn't even do Season 2.
Season 3 is pretty good so far.
I've heard it's good. But no, Season 1, the writing on it annoyed me so much that I didn't finish it. And then when Season 2 came out, I just looked at the trailer for it again to see if I was right to be absolutely fucking outraged. And I believe I am, as I always believe I am on these podcasts, completely justified in my insane overreaction to what is essentially... television. But there's a line in it where he's talking to Q, and Q's giving him shit about, like, oh, the game never ends. And Picard says, Q, I am way too old for this bullshit. And spot the problem there. You're probably going to think it's the swearing, but it's not the swearing. Picard would have said, I am far too old for this bullshit. And that might seem like a little oversight, but it just tells me whoever wrote this thought, hey, I've got a cool line, and not, I've got a line that Picard would say.
I thought it was just tired and cliched line that you had a problem with.
I was far less bothered with that than the fact that they, like, you know, that most of the plot of season two, like when I watch Star Trek to see the fucking future. I want to see Klingons. I want to see Ferengi. I want to see starships going at warp. I want to see blowing shit up with photon torpedoes. I don't want to see what I can see outside my window, which is like, you know, 2023 depressingness. Don't give me that bullshit of like, oh, we're going to do a time travel story. No, all you're going to do is try to save some bucks, and because you realize that, hey, if we have a car chase, that's cheaper than like spending $16 million on a CGI starship. No, you're not like, that's not Star Trek. No, one episode once in a blue moon, I'll deal with, you know, because every Star Trek had to do that. You give me that for a whole season. All you do is just leave me angry and bitter and sitting there going, gee, if all the characters die at the end of this episode, I'd be okay with that.
Well, watching season two, you did better than me, Rick, because I heard that line in that trailer, and then I just threw my TV through the window. And I didn't have a TV for a long time, so it's taken me a while to catch up with stuff.
In all fairness, I watched the first three episodes of season two, and then I skipped to the last two episodes of season two, and I didn't feel like I missed a fucking thing.
Well, that aside, I did say never again, fuck you, Picard. But now I'm hearing season three is really good. And they've just kind of like went, how about instead of like not paying attention to what people actually liked about Star Trek, we pay attention to what people actually liked about Star Trek, which I think is a winning formula for people who like Star Trek. Call me crazy.
For a while there, it seemed like Star Trek, like, I guess from an internal standpoint, was taken over by people who hated Star Trek. It was kind of like that guy who wanted to produce like a Superman, like Superman Lives, but secretly hated the character Superman.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you got to shit on everybody else's parade?
I had the same feeling for Discovery. Everybody says it got better as it went along, but good. I'm glad to hear it. That gives my spite and vitriol a much needed boost. But it just felt to me like somebody who's being forced to write a Star Trek episode. It's like, you shouldn't force people to write Star Trek. Find somebody who wants to do it.
Yeah. There's so many internet nerds there who would like, you know, who would quite literally sell their parents, you know, probably to CBS, because I'm sure they'd be buying, for the chance to write a Star Trek episode. Fuck. I mean, I'm one of them.
That's basically, you know, why Henry Cavill left The Witcher, allegedly, is the writer's room didn't actually like the books.
Yeah, I mean, and it kind of makes sense. I remember that's being spun very differently online. Like, Henry Cavill was becoming a problem. Turns out he actually likes this shit.
Yeah, I mean, CBS showed up to my house and said, hey, Rick, we'll let you write an episode of Star Trek, but you got to let us, like, snort your dead mom's ashes. I'd get a mirror and a razor and like start making lines. You know, come on.
I mean, that sounds excessive, but you know, I know Star Trek fans and it's quite reasonable. Yeah, so I got put off Discovery for what I think are quite legitimate reasons. It's like, if you want to write something different, write something different. Don't be a coward. Don't hide behind the aesthetic and the livery of an established franchise. Just do your own shit. It's fine.
Yeah, for the longest time there, it seemed the people who actually like Star Trek were writing for the Orville.
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, I started watching the Orville, and I started rewatching TNG, and I was like, that's like getting into a warm bath. It's like, yeah, this is the shit.
Whereas season three, like after season two of Discovery, was like getting into a warm bath with a plugged-in toaster.
It's warm because it's piss. But something that did come out of it, which again I was reluctant to get into because once bitten, twice shy, Strange New Worlds, which seems to be their entire philosophy said, what if we didn't hate Star Trek? And it seems to be working out quite well. I'd put it kind of in terms of the glow of the familiarity of the tone and the, I don't want to say gentleness of it, the baseline kind of gentleness of it. Strange New World seems to be. I'm only a few episodes in, but just consistently good. Clever people being calm and solving problems with intelligence rather than doing a fucking barrel roll and firing a million phases.
Well, it feels like the original Star Trek, because you know there's serious episodes, but they're interspersed with, like, you know, with spacefaring goofiness.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not terrible, like cringeworthy goofiness. It's kind of like, all right, this feels like Star Trek goofy.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like, I don't know. There was just such a kind of mean spiritedness about Discovery and about Picard. Like literally, it's like in the first episode of Picard, it just seems to be everyone shouting at an old man.
Yeah,
well, I don't want to see this. I can just go outside and shout at an old man. I do that every day.
The first like couple seasons of or first couple episodes of Picard were like when DC put out Titans and like they're using it as a promo, like, you know, Robin Sinner going fuck Batman, you know, as they were trying to be like cool and edgy and mostly failing at it. And that's what like Picard felt like almost like he turned to the camera and be like fuck Starfleet.
Yeah, but it's like fuck Batman, and like a large percentage of the audience sort of went, I like Batman. This is sort of why I'm here. I don't know. Yeah, it all feels a little bit. It reminds me when Marvel brought out the Ultimate Editions, the parallel world stories of all their characters, which relied on all their edgy twists, relied on you being familiar with the characters and then fucking with your expectations, which is really fucking easy to do.
Some of the Ultimate stuff was really good, but some of it, they were just like, it's like, okay, so Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, they're brother and sister, and they're fucking.
Yeah, let's have them fucking. But it was a case, just the dialogue. It's like, oh, everyone's a bitch now. It's like, you can't all be Wolverine.
Yeah.
You know, you need some light and shade.
Oh, dear God, Bob and Joe, tell us about something you guys like. So it's not just us talking while you guys stare pensively at your cameras.
I'm drinking. So, yeah, I'm fine.
I just finished a glass of sake, so we'll see how much my brain bubbles in a few minutes.
Let's find something that's going to make Joe furious. Something pointless that's going to make Joe furious.
Joe, have you seen Shingles, the movie?
Joss Whedon dialogue.
Joss Whedon dialogue.
Joss Whedon's dialogue, or specifically the imitation of the everyone imitating it for years and years and years, drives me up the fucking wall.
It's just in the cake all the time now. It's like some kind of a plastic in the water supply. It's just,
yeah.
I mean, it was fine when it was Buffy, because that's what Buffy was.
Also, they were teenagers, and like now everyone's talking like super quippy teenagers, and everyone is quippy, and everyone has a joke. And the thing that really infuriates me about that style of talking, I think, like, and honestly, like, Joss Whedon isn't the first one to do it. Aaron Sorkin did it before him. It's a way of talking where every dramatic, serious, and emotionally weighted moment has to be broken up by a joke. Usually like a moment where the character kind of winks at the audience to let you know that this isn't going to be one of those shows where things are serious.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. I remember, here's the thing, I remember in the Marvel franchise, which are, they're basically comedies. They are, like, it's consistently funny movies. But that scene in Avengers 2 where Hawkeye's talking to Quicksilver and like, none of this makes sense, man. I'm a guy with a bow and arrow. And like, basically just licks the camera.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine if you do it once. But then you get into more modern Marvel movies and all of a sudden everyone's the self-referential funny guy. It's like,
yeah,
I would find this insufferable if I was just out with you guys for a drink. It's like, you can't all be the funny guy all the time.
Yeah.
You can't just be quip, 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 quip. because it's tedious.
Also, yeah. I'm like, as a horror fan, I enjoy the roller coaster, but too much of that roller coaster ruins it. There's a movie out there called The Prophecy. It has Christopher Walken, and there are points where it almost approaches kind of like disturbing, scary thing territory, except they keep ruining it by having him just throw out ridiculous quips. Mm. It's like, this could have been a really good movie, except he's busy throwing out one-liners that I'm like, that it strikes me that an ancient angel of death probably wouldn't make.
Yeah.
Again, kind of Whedonism is like, isn't this wacky? We're in this crazy situation, which would never happen in real life. Isn't that wacky? It's like, no shit. That's why I'm watching television. Again, if I want real life, I will go outside, which I do not want to do.
One show that just got canceled was Disney Plus's Willow. And I can't say I'm really sorry to see it go because it was so full of fucking anachronisms.
Ooh.
Like, the movie had moments of goofiness.
I didn't know that was out yet. I was waiting. I was kind of waiting to see that.
Something that there's a word that's really begun to annoy me recently. I see it on the internet, and something will happen, and it'll be like, they'll say, finally, a Willow series. I'm like, who thinks like that? No one was waiting for a Willow. It's like, it's a movie I saw when I was 8 and I loved it. Then I saw it when I was 15 and thought, oh, I remember loving that when I was 8. And I never thought about it again. And it's still fine. It was a great little piece of nostalgia. But who's saying like, oh, finally, a series about Willow? I was really itching to know what happened after those events.
Well, I was itching to find out what happened after those events. But I did like the movie. I watched it more, within the past couple of years, and watched it again, and still,
it's
I think
a charming
it held
movie.
Well.
Oh yeah, it's charming.
Yeah,
but the humor is kind of topical in it. You know, like it makes sense for it. It's a lighthearted, like fantasy romp. Whereas the show basically just had everybody acting like, once again, like teenagers from 90210 cosplaying as people in Willow's world.
90210.
I'm not happy to hear that.
You just dated us severely.
I know.
Yes, they were.
And I don't mean the remake.
No, you're getting into that Jason Priestley shit.
You could have said the OC. I think that's a thing that young people used to like about 15 years ago.
They're like characters like from Saved by the Bell. We all kids like that.
That's the thing, man. They keep on remaking shit. Our references are fresh as fuck.
Yeah, but they don't remake it good. That's the problem.
Well, like, they never should have
remade it. Did the world need a serious remake of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
No, I don't know who asked for that. There's something about capturing a tone. And you can even look back to TNG. The first season was disastrous because it was trying to be like the original series. And then it found its voice, and that was fine. Yeah. But you can't keep that. We should have learned lessons from that. That was a while ago. But speaking of serious remakes, and this is something I'm a little bit torn about, but I think everybody universally likes Andor, the new Star Wars series.
Never seen it.
I haven't seen it either because I don't watch things, but...
universally, except for everyone on this podcast.
I've heard really good things about it, but I think to enjoy it, you have to enjoy like slow burn political thrillers. And if you don't like that in Star Wars, then it's probably not going to be.
Summed it up. Rick, you had the same problem. You've started watching it.
Yeah, I've heard it gets much better after episode one, but I literally fell asleep 4 times trying to watch episode one. And by the end, I was like, this is not me. I'm not turning narcoleptic. This is this show boring the shit out of me.
Yeah. No, to be honest, it gets better after like episode 4. You have to really stick with it. It's really slow burning. Yeah,
I mean, if I have insomnia, but I'll try to catch up then.
Star Wars.
Wait. You watched 2 seasons of Picard that you fucking hated, and then but you won't give a
but he was
you
awake
won't go through
that.
Episode
I was, exactly I was right, I was yeah. awa- I was hating it while I was awake, you know. If like I mean, I'm old. I will fall asleep in front of the TV. Usually when the show just gets interesting, I'll start nodding off. But you know something? It's one thing for me to do that once during an episode, but like over the course of four nights, I'm trying to get through this goddamn episode. I just keep being like, oh. At that point, I was like, this is not doing it for me.
Star Wars really shouldn't be work. It should be the opposite of work. I will say about Andor, it's like, it's scripted really well. The writing's really serious. It does not talk down to anyone at all. It really does explore the reality of living under imperial overreach and as like corporate overreach and the militarization of securities. It takes all this shit seriously, and it follows people in the Empire bureaucracy. And it's like, I now know what it's like to work in an unfulfilling blue collar job in the Star Wars universe. I now know what it's like to be tied up with bureaucracy and power politics in the Star Wars universe. Thing is, I didn't really fucking want to know that.
Yeah, that does sound boring.
Like one of the reasons why I like The Mandalorian is, okay, there's no Jedi in it, but there's a guy who just pretty much is like a walking tank, you know?
Yeah.
No, I was just saying it depends on what you want out of Star Wars.
Like, yeah, but that's the thing. It's kind of, again, I really liked Andor. I thought it was really well written, really beautifully shot. I think it, like Rogue One to me, was the first time that Star Wars felt like a real lived-in universe. I didn't think Rogue One was a great movie. It's kind of a mess. It had some like good parts, but like as an actual sequential movie, didn't really work. That probably would have worked better as something episodic. But Andor's kind of the same as that. It feels like a real lived-in universe. It is rewarding. It's got some fantastic performance in it and some really great writing. But the thing that gets me, there's loads of people saying, and again, it's that word finally. It's like, finally, a Star Wars for grown-ups that I can relate to. It's like, if you didn't like Star Wars, fucking watch it. It's like saying, they made a Care Bears remake. It's like, finally, a Care Bears remake that really nails home the message that you can't just change people with social shaming. It has to be backed up by political violence. It's like, you probably didn't like Care Bears. You know?
Finally, the XXX Care Bears I've been waiting for.
Yeah, no, I actually legitimately hate the phrase, like, finally, X property, but for grown-ups. I'm like, there is so much grown-up stuff out there.
Yeah.
I get it to an extent because, you know, the emotional range of like your average Marvel movie, you know, I actually do kind of agree with Martin Scorsese and the idea that superhero movies are kind of taking over everything. And, you know, there is a certain degree of threat to the art of American cinema. Like that is a thing. But when you live and breathe all that media, it's like, this is adolescent stuff, you know, That's what the intended audience for these base properties has always been. And
yeah, I think it's completely reasonable.
Also, Rick, if you want XXX Care Bear stuff, I'm sure that's out there.
I am not Googling that shit because I know. Because the next time you see me on video, just be like, I have stared into the void between the Care Bear's legs.
The people demand that we tackle the hard issues, the hard Care Bear issues.
I don't want to Google hard and Care Bears either.
Because you know what they're going to do the second you plug in. They're going to be like Care Bear stare.
Care Bear hard eye contact.
They just stare at you while doing things.
Oh God! It's like some weird porno bondage version of Five Nights at Freddy's.
No matter what they're doing, they're always looking straight at their camera, so they're staring straight out the screen at you.
Their eyes follow you around the room, and the tips of their penises.
God damn it!
But yeah, I agree with Joe. It's like if you wanted hard sci-fi. That already exists. You can go and have that. You can go support stuff. I'm not really into The Expanse that much, but people fought for that because it was giving them something they wanted. And Star Wars doesn't have to be that.
It can be. And then, like I said, as you said, Andor is good. So I'm not shitting on Andor, but yeah.
No, it is good. I don't blame it. It's just the finally thing that confuses
me. Thing is just annoying as fuck.
Yeah. You were just sitting around waiting for Star Wars to become this different product when you could have been supporting other products.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like all of these things exist in the realm of fanfic, you know, so either go read it or write it.
Well, let's not send people down that rabbit hole, Rick. They never come back. That's how you get Care Bear porn.
That's how you some dude who wrote a like 300,000. I heard about this. Some dude wrote like a 300,000 word grim, dark My Little Pony.
Oh God, yeah. No, that was a big. That was a cultural curiosity for a while.
Yeah, I was like, fuck. What made you?
You know, he had a vision and he saw it through. I can respect that.
I don't know, Rick. I've read samples of this in.
I didn't say I respected the writing or that it was good. I just said
just the pure moxie of it.
I can respect somebody saying, sitting there going, I have a vision for taking this beloved child's property and just turning it into something terrible, and I'm going to write a Drew Hayes-sized novel about it, and then seeing it through. That's stick-to-itiveness. That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, there's someone out there saying, finally, a sexy My Little Pony being tortured to death.
I mean, someone is.
No, absolutely. Someone is. They are, right now, as you're listening to this podcast. Somebody has come on that and said, finally.
Oh, yeah. And with most finallys, there's also disturbing amounts of illustrations out there.
I bet, like, 8 people just stopped watching this video to go find that now.
Well, as long as they paused it and they're coming back, I don't care. We've still got bitching to do.
Now, mind you, we're kind of guilty of that, I guess, maybe with Shingles the movie, because it's kind of like, finally, this beloved children's series. But for terrible adults.
No one said finally.
Yeah, no one said finally. I'm hoping people say, like, why has this happened?
Yeah.
That is the point. I mean, we're deliberately being pricks. But the people who are writing Andor, I'm not saying Andor's good. The people who are writing Discovery, I don't think they were deliberately being pricks. I just think they just did not get what it was about. Whereas we are deliberately subverting what the popular children's series that we shall not mention for fear of being horribly sued. We knew what that was about and we subverted it very deliberately and very obviously. But it's like, if somebody just said to me like, hey, how do you feel about writing? What's something I don't give a shit about? How do you feel about writing? I don't know.
Bob, he has a long list.
Hey, Bob, name something you don't give a shit about.
Andor, Picard, Mandalorian.
This podcast, fuck you. Harry Potter. I never gave a shit about Harry Potter.
Right, yeah, Harry Potter. That works too.
But if somebody had asked me to write Harry Potter, I'd be like, I can write Harry Potter, but it's going to be very sarcastic. And
there you go. You asked me to do that, and that became a Shingles book. WizKid.
Yeah, but you're deliberately being a prick. But if somebody sincerely asked me, it's like, oh, we need a writer on this 8-part Netflix series based around the Harry Potter universe. I'm like, I'd be like, you've got the wrong guy.
I probably would have written universe. The same thing.
Yeah, you would have. And you would have been fired, and that would have been okay.
I will say this. You will say you've got the wrong guy up until the point that they like, you know, that they hand you that bag of money, and then it's like,
I wouldn't.
Okay,
I would.
I'd be like, here's your terrible Harry Potter. Give me my just as long as the check clears.
Harry Potter and the guy who did not give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't work for no turf.
Well, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, franchise, but a franchise idea. Insert X franchise that I don't
If somebody asked me to write for CIS, I don't give a fuck about CIS. I don't watch fucking dramas. Sure. Yeah. But if they like, you know, if they're like, here's the check, and I look at it, and I'm like, fuck it.
I'll give it a go. Did it.
Yeah, whatever the fuck.
In CIS. Right.
It's just a butler in every episode of CIS. But yeah, that's why I didn't like Discovery, because it felt like they were just forcing someone to write Star Trek. Why would you do that? It's like, yeah, we need to unleash a new Star Trek series. And the first thing we do is just put in the airlock everything I don't like about Star Trek, which coincidentally happens to be what, you know, most people like about Star Trek.
Well, you know something? They might have been able to get away with it if they had put it in, like, the J.J. Abrams universe. Because that kind of set did its own little spin-off there. Everybody acknowledged it was a separate timeline. Different shit happened. You could probably get away with it there. But in the main universe, there's too much established canon.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when they did that Doctor Who movie where they said, oh, the Doctor's half human and and he lives in New York or whatever the fuck that thing was, where a lot of people were like, again, put the fucking brakes on.
Yeah, we're going to do a Doctor Who movie, but we decided we don't really like Doctor Who and it's a bit shit and you guys are weird, so we're going to do something entirely different. Yeah.
I'm still not convinced anybody likes Doctor Who.
It's a conspiracy, mate. It really is.
Mm.
Red Dwarf is right there. That's Doctor Who for people with substance abuse problems.
Finally, Doctor Who for people with substance abuse problems.
But, yeah, when I'm arguing with people online and in between me threatening to send them envelopes filled with anthrax, they do say, like, oh, well, this Star Trek is in the different universe. I'm like, well, say that up front and fucking commit to the bit. Don't take the livery of something else and fly it as a flag and say, well, if you don't like this, maybe you just don't like Star Trek hard enough.
That's what annoys me when, like, you know, when they fall on things like that for, like, defending stuff, where it's like, oh, if you don't like this, you must be some sort of bigot. No, it's possible to not like something with a super diverse cast simply because the writing is bad.
That's true. We've really got into, and I try and avoid, I actually do try and avoid talking about it online. If I think something is in the us and them stage, I won't talk about it. When Ghostbusters 2016 came out, I didn't slag it off for a while. Because for a while it was in the us and them stage. It's like, well, if you're a good person, you're going to support this really fucking bad comedy. And if you don't, then you are some kind of sex offender. So I thought, well, I'm staying out of that fucking discussion. Which is not a healthy way for things to be, I think. I think you should be allowed to bitch about things without being on a terrorist list.
I mean, in all fairness, there were a lot of terrible people, like, you know, slagging off on it for no other reason than it was a female cast.
Oh, actually, but we're on the internet, Rick.
I know.
Statistically speaking, everything that happens on the internet is going to have a percentage of awful people.
This is the Discovery you're talking about?
Oh, we're still talking about
Ghostbusters 16.
I always come back to Ghostbusters 2016.
But it was the same thing with, like, you know, with, I mean, Wonder Woman was kind of the same deal. It was like, you know, if you don't think this is the best movie ever, obviously you're like a misogynist or so. As opposed to, like, you know, being like, okay, in some parts of the movie were good, but the CGI was fucking terrible, and mostly it was kind of a ripoff of Captain America.
the villain fight at the end was shit, but there were lots of charming bits in it, and I think Gal Gadot was a very great Wonder Woman. But thankfully that wore off enough. Like, if a movie's bad enough, the us and them thing just very quickly dies. Like Wonder Woman 1984, it was like, if you don't like this movie, then you're, it's like, no, this is just a bad movie.
They tried that with that, and it was just like,
you
can dislike this movie. It wasn't very good.
That's fine. I would like things to be a little bit more like that most of the time. I do hate the us and them bullshit. I do think it muddies the waters of innocent internet bastards bitching about stuff they basically get for free. So, which is what I think is at the core of the side quest experience.
I mean, people are getting the side quest for free.
Yeah.
So bitch about it.
You can bitch about as much as you want.
Just link to Shingles the movie and have, like, while you're doing it.
We are mostly bold, middle-aged white men. This is fine. You can attack this as much as you want without it being some sort of political stage.
If you don't like A&D side quest, why do you hate middle-aged fat bald dudes?
Yeah, I think you're fairly safe in attacking side quest. Mm. Please do loudly on Twitter as much as you like.
God,
start a war about it, please.
Yeah, I know.
We could do it at clicks.
I keep waiting for us to say something that will just be like, oh, look, 500,000 people, like, you know, jumped on us. They finally know who we are.
All because Bevan finally said something that went too far.
Finally, a Bevan for grown up.
What else can I say?
I don't know, mate. You've been trying really hard.
I know.
Keep waiting for it to pay off. Let's inject some positivity then.
It's because you cut out when I say the N-word.
Oh, God. That doesn't happen.
My internet connection is kind of going out here. Yeah,
but
if there was a sudden cut, it's not because, it's just because I'm not great at editing. It's nothing to do with something terrible. But yeah, I was about to say, let's inject some positivity into this. Mandalorian, Rick, you've been catching up with season 3. What are your thoughts?
I mean, okay, so this past week's episode, I haven't finished it yet, but it was a little boring because it pretty much catches up with characters that I don't give a shit about. But the first, I think, 3 or 4 episodes, they're really solid. Like adventurous spirit of, okay, we're catching up to this badass bounty hunter, and he's doing cool shit, and he's flying starships, and he's firing weapons. But he's also with, like, the cute little baby Yoda who's busy doing cute little baby Yoda things. And it's pretty
cool. Finally, a Yoda for babies. But, you know, I agree with you. That's what I really liked about The Mandalorian. It had the Star Wars aesthetic, and it had it in modern-day prestige direction and filming and set building, and everything looked sweet. But it was just a TV serial, basically a space western.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have done this. Somebody would have done this on an nth of the budget 60 years ago, like as a radio serial or something. And it just works. It's just, it doesn't try too hard to be something it's not. The writing is solid enough. The adventure is solid enough. The characters are all very cool. The aesthetic is everything you love about Star Wars. It didn't have to go to the fantastic sort of intricate writing efforts that Andor went into, where you had this whole series arc that takes about 4 episodes to get interesting. It's just every week the Mandalorian has an adventure.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And like, you know, the main character is kind of like, you know, what we always kind of imagined Boba Fett would be until we actually got the Boba Fett show and we're disappointed. So now we pretend that this actually is really just like, you know, Boba Fett.
We already got Boba Fett. We didn't need actual Boba. He could have just stayed in the Sarlacc. It would have been fine.
Yeah.
But I guess to segue from that, speaking of Pedro Pascal, The Last of Us. Has anybody watched that?
No.
Oddly enough, yes, too. Jesus Christ.
Rick, you're really fucking carrying this podcast episode.
God. So Last of Us, it was well done. I mean, there's enough in there for fans of the video game to like be like, holy shit, that's cool. There's enough of it for fans who just like zombie apocalypse movies to be like, holy shit, that's cool. If you're just looking for some like good acting and like, you know, fun stories, there's like, it really did work. And if you really just like watching Pedro Pascal kill a lot of people, it also works, you know?
Yeah, sometimes that's all I think.
I mean, every fetish is kind of like served by this show.
Yeah, great. No, I haven't watched it yet because I never played the video game. So I'm sort of thinking to myself, I should play the video game first. But then I remember I'm very lazy and I don't have much free time. So I might just watch it anyway. But I am glad. I mean, I think we've been out of it for a while. But I think now we are inarguably out of the stage of all video game adaptations are shit.
I'm sure.
I mean, some of them still are, obviously, but statistically, you know, shit television happens. People looking to take advantage of established IPs are probably not the most careful of adapters. Uibol, for example, I think this is kind of like, this is prestige television based on a prestige video game.
Video game adaptations kind of started to get better a few years ago, and I'm going to name a movie that I may be well disagreed on. I watched the live action Warcraft movie, and I didn't hate it.
Like, I didn't hate it. It wasn't very Hollywood in its pacing. It felt a lot more like a, to be honest, it felt more like a Chinese historical epic, but with all
You know, they did some really interesting stuff with the orc plot line, and especially, and I remember thinking as I was watching it, like, I don't think this is going to go anywhere because I don't think the audience base is there for it. And I don't think it, like, it just didn't hit the right way at the right time, but it was a solid movie.
I didn't mind it. Was not a, like, everyone knows what Warcraft is.
Yeah.
You'd have to be living under a rock not to, but I'm not a big Warcraft player. I try and play it now again with people, but they've been playing it for 15 years and I literally feel like I'm being dragged around the shops by my parents. It's just like, oh, we're going over here now. It's like, I have no fucking idea what's going on because everyone's been playing it for 15 years. So when I watched a movie, it was kind of just as somebody watching a movie. I liked it. As a guy who enjoys fantasy movies, it's good.
Yeah,
I like the original, like, you know, Warcraft games up until Warcraft 3 and stuff, because I don't really like playing video games with other people. And that's what kind of kills, like, you know, World of Warcraft for me, because I just want to go through this and, like, you know, get my thing. I don't want to, like, go on raids with, like, people that I don't want to talk to them.
I want a World of Warcraft. I want a Rick of Warcraft.
Yes.
Yeah, it was kind of like, because I was a big fan of the strategy games and I played those a whole bunch in high school.
There was a little nod to that in the movie as well when they had the map going on. I was like, that's a little nod there. I appreciate that. Little red meat for the nerds.
It was nice. Like, I think I'm not saying, you know, Warcraft walks so The Last of Us could run, but I think that like at least a few years back, we've started to see video game movies that are being done not as like a Uibol gimmick.
Yeah. Well, I got to put it out there, and it was an unexpected hit, and no one was expecting it to work. The first Sonic the Hedgehog movie. To me, the fact that you could make an entertaining movie about a blue hedgehog with super speed and make it, it didn't have to be a classic. It didn't have to blow anyone's mind. It's just like, the challenge here is, can you make this work without it being an absolute pile of dog shit? And they did.
I mean, there was also Detective Pikachu.
Detective Pikachu. Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but everyone I've talked to says that it's
good. I actually saw that one.
If I was an old school Hollywood producer and somebody came into my room and into my office and said, Detective Pikachu, I'd have them beaten to death. So I'm glad we're in an age where that's not happening anymore.
But we still get, you know, like, I'm perfectly honest, the Uncharted movie was, tried to hit the beats, but it, like, it was kind of like one of those things where, like, if it felt like the Uncharted games, as if somebody played the telephone game and, like, the fourth person down the line wrote the movie.
I do think that is generally what happens with video games. The original Mario Brothers movie was somebody who was just playing the game and it just got passed up for a lot of people who were like, how the fuck are we going to make this a reality? This is just a man jumping on animals. And then they got something that just had nothing really to do with the game. But
no, that was like, that was extra effort, though, to make something shit.
Somebody had a really weird
idea. That wasn't a telephone game. That was a drugs. That was, no, that was like Sabotage or something. I don't know.
Somebody wanted to make a movie about something completely different, and somebody said, make a Mario video game movie, and no one gives a shit about video games. You know, so here's some money, here's some drugs, go have fun.
Yeah, I think somebody just said, you know what I want to do? I want to spend 6 weeks on a set with drunk Bob Hoskins. Make it
happen. I want that, Rick. Who doesn't want that? But he's sadly gone. And speaking of Mario movies, it's all come full circle from the first video game adaptation to what I hope will be the pinnacle of animated entertainment, the new Mario movie, with what everybody's saying is perhaps not the right voice cast. Maybe they should have just stuck to falsetto Italian. But I don't know how long they could do that without it being terribly racist. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Is Italian racist?
I could be racist to Italians. I try.
I think the entire superior way to voice the Mario movie is to find a way to never have Mario say anything other than he already says in the games.
Yeah.
Just because everyone else talks, Mario only ever says shit like, it's a me.
There's all these scenes and he just shows up at the very end. It's a me, Mario.
No, they should have him like as a fully articulate being. But then the first time he heads butts a brick is like he can only say six phrases after that.
That's a really dark Mario. Oh,
but, you know, logic wise, you know, quite like, consistent.
It can start off because he can start off as Dr. Mario, which was a game. And he gets brain damage, and now he can only like
the Mushroom King is like, we really need a doctor. They bring him in. The first Goomba fight is like, now we've just got this psychotic plumber, Mario. This is what we've got. Send him against the turtle dragon. Nothing makes sense.
Oh, God, now I suddenly want to see this movie.
That's why they never made a Legend of Zelda movie, no? Or a series, because that would be great. That world would be fantastic to see. But you've got a lead character. The only thing he ever says is angry screaming. Which I think would be great, but I think 99% of people would probably find weird and intimidating.
Yeah. There was Legend of Neil.
Legend of Neil? How much angry screaming was in Legend of Neil? Percentage?
No, there's more masturbating.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but was there angry screaming while that was going on?
I don't think so.
Was he like, yuck! now I'm going to have to Google that.
Yeah, that's a fun series.
I don't know, maybe when it's finally a good Sonic the Hedgehog movie, or finally a animated Super Mario Brothers movie, that's fine. When it's finally the Gummy Bears, but they've all got fucking Berettas, maybe not as much.
The Gunny Bears?
The Gunny Bears. Oh, man. Now I really think that should happen. I'm such a fucking hypocrite. The Gunny Bears. The Gunny
Bears. They're back, and they're pissed. They drink this juice, and then they just pull out fucking Tommy guns.
Just bouncing around, firing guns.
Oh, man. Or if we're going the porn intense direction, it could be the Cummy Bears.
Oh,
no. Oh, my God. That'd be really dynamic porn. Oh, you'd have to get like professional gymnasts.
Gummy involved. Bears with facials.
Finally.
Finally, gummy bears for grown-ups.
All right, well, this has been a solid hour of angry old man bullshit and inadvisable remake ideas. Anything else you guys want to throw into the pot?
Not
before we wrap this up? Bevan, what remake do you want to see and ruin?
Cummy Bears.
Cummy Bears, just Cummy Bears. No, it's a solid choice, mate. You're not going to top that. I'm desperately trying to figure something worse than that, but I don't think it's going to happen.
No. I'm trying to think of something I could do with Teddy Ruxpin, but
nothing's happened. I can think of a lot of things you can do with Teddy Ruxpin.
Whoa, Rick!
I'd be like Teddy Coxpin. Oh, dear.
I was just talking about putting your dick in one.
Well, yeah. I mean, but if you're going to do that, you might as well put like a tape in of screaming.
Finally, someone had the guts to say it.
That's great because, you know, yeah, you can fuck a Teddy Ruxpin and put, you know, a tape in whatever you wanted to say. Whatever your fantasy. There you
dude,
go.
You can put a flashlight in a Teddy Ruxpin and record Jesus your own tape.
Jesus Christ!
And you can sell that on the internet for a lot of money.
Hi, Daddy. It would be great if you could fuck my empty eye socket again.
Oh, no. Yeah, I guess you don't have to put a flashlight in this.
Teddy Ruxpin.
Finally.
Oh, Jesus.
There it is.
Bevan, if you don't spend the next 6 months just hand-making Teddy Ruxpins, then you have lost an opportunity, my friend. Finally, a Teddy Ruxpin for degenerates. Oh, God.
Teddy Ruxpin showing up at AndyCon would be terrible.
Well, I think, AndyCon, I think you just made it happen,
Jeff. August 11th. Yeah. If you cosplay as Teddy Ruxpin,
oh, God.
I will buy you a drink, friend. I might even comp your ticket price. but only for the first person to turn up. If you're like the 12th Teddy Ruxpin, I've already lost interest.
I would say that that would get me kicked out of Portland, but honestly, Portland has the naked bike ride every year where just like hundreds and hundreds of people ride around the town naked on bikes.
Yeah, we could have like 12 Teddy Ruxpins on unicycles and they'd think it was art. It wouldn't be. It'd be the opposite of art. But I don't know if that's what we want our convention to become. But then again, it's out of our control.
Whatever makes the news.
If everyone who buys a ticket turns up as a Teddy Ruxpin, we can't control that. That's not our fault.
We'll take the headlines and just roll with it.
Yeah. Somebody calls in the military, we can't be held responsible for that. Oh, I like to think we've ended the podcast on a high. Yes. Finally, a side quest that allows us to fuck 80s teddy bears.
Hey, they're old enough now.
Oh! Oh, you're right, because that was my first concern. Oh. Well, thank you for joining us on another side quest. We hope you enjoyed this rambling and chaotic spiral into hell. And we hope you'll join us next time for more wacky adventures on Orphans and Dragons. Bye-bye.
And please cancel us online. We need the publicity.
Authors and Dragons is brought to you under a Creative Commons license, meaning you are free to share this material so long as credit is given to those who created it, which is us, the people you just heard play the game. Opening and closing themes performed by the Gore Core 4. Authors and Dragons!